ओंकार वेद्या पुरुषा पुराण बुद्धेश्च साक्षी निखिला सजंतो जो वेत्ति सर्व न च जास्य भित्या परात्म रूपो भुवि राम कृष्ण चथाग्नेर दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हि जा सर्वविद्या सर्वपांगतां शारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। नमः श्री ज्योतिराजाय विवेकानंद सूरये सच्चित सुख स्वरूपाय स्वामिने तापुकारिणे। माय डियर आत्मज्ञानानंद जी, आदर महाराज जी, टू डिवोटीज प्रेजेंट हियर टुडे, आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू कम टू दिस आश्रम वाशिंगटन डीसी एंड सी द न्यू टेम्पल दैट हैड बीन कॉन्सेक्रेटेड ए फ्यू मंथ्स पास्ट। लास्ट टाइम व्हेन आई केम आई सॉ द कंस्ट्रक्शन वर्क in the process, it is in the initial stage and our Stuart Maharaj is doing his best, working untiringly to develop the work, and slowly, slowly it had given a very nice touch, wonderful temple of Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna with a marble statue. This is the first time we got a temple of Sri Ramakrishna with a marble statue in our USA centers. So this is a matter of great pride in us. It is because of Sri Ramakrishna's grace, his wish and will, and our most revered Swami Sahanandaji Maharaj, who passed away recently because of his blessings and initiative, all this marvelous work has been done. On this very occasion, I congratulate you because of this new venture that had been taken, and more devotees will be able to come here and join in the prayer or in other classes and lectures that will be held periodically, time to time. I shall speak a few words about Sri Ramakrishna. All of you are thoroughly reading and going through his life and message. You are also going through the life and message of Sharada Devi, the Universal Mother, and Swami Vivekananda. So the holy trio, it is, we can say that it has become one ideas that was very much required in three bodies, and it is the right time that we are to understand their message for the development of our individual life and the development of the global life also, our social life. Sri Ramakrishna's message is very, very simple. Anybody and everybody who does not have any idea or knowledge, any background of what is spirituality or how to attain God or how to have peace in mind, in his life we get so many nice guidance. It is so near to us, these advices and guidance he left for us. It is so near and dear to all of us, whoever comes from whichever level of the society or whatever may the formative structure of the mind. If we get the answer to all our questions, what is there in our mind regarding the development of spiritual life, we will be able to come closer and closer if we get hold on to the Sri Ramakrishna's message in this age. First thing is to study that how the message has been disbursed to the people. Is it any formal way that he had gone there anywhere to give the message so that people will be able to know it? We see that this sort of teaching Sri Ramakrishna never imparted. He never went anywhere to teach scriptural teachings. He sits in his room or at the most goes to some devotee's house or join in several places where there are devotees congregating and take the name of the Lord. He loves God, and wherever there is any discussion about godly matters, he wants to become a part and parcel of it. He does not want the leadership of it. That is the wonder of wonders. Although he has realized fully, he can understand that the people who have assembled there in a holy company, what sort of modifications is there in their mind, how are they deep in their thought, and what sort of ideas and ideologies it is suitable to them. All these things he is fully aware of them. Just like in a lantern, the light is there inside. There is a glass covering. So like that, he can see the mind of each and every one. But unknowingly for that person who comes in contact with him, he elevates him, promotes him, as if as a friend, as a nearby, or whatever you may call it, he himself being very close to the person who have some question in his mind. So every day devotees are coming. We may not call them all devotees. They are our people who comes with the question in his mind. Question, how it has come to the mind. You see, if we study the history of human being, the question regarding the development of the inside of the mind. Inside of the mind means that is a pure mind, which can think of, which can contemplate about a higher theme. We call it God. We call this practice of spirituality. Some of the people who wants to take his mind to a thought which is higher and higher than the gross level in the other places, when he is moving in other times, when he deals with those gross matters, he feels that, is it enough for my life to be attained? The grosser achievements, the achievements in the gross world, or if there is any higher fulfillment to be got? These sort of questions are hovering over the mind of almost so many of the people who become little conscious, or some questions and doubts come to their mind. Here we see Sri Ramakrishna, who never goes to amplify his speech or call the people and tell them that I shall give you the answer, not at all in that posture, or that sort of initiative is not there. But he wants to become one of them who thinks of God, who is thinking individually or collectively, he will be there. And the people have come to know that although he did not take any proud of it, he had got the highest realization. Not only the highest, even the realization in the lower level of spiritual current in a human mind, he is aware of it. So we see Sri Ramakrishna is the encyclopedia of the religious world, the spiritual world. Every tidbit of the depth of our mind, which takes us to spiritual realization or spiritual bliss, everything is known to him. How is it possible for a person, which he, in the appearance is most ordinary, a village man, whose words also are not perfectly pronounced, anybody meeting him, he talks in his own way, but charms the people and feels that this is not the first time and this is not the last time that we are able to meet him. Some sort of attraction comes to the mind when he goes to his place after meeting him and thinks, when next time I shall go, when will there be an opportunity out of my hundreds of work to go and meet him? So this sort of attachment comes to the mind. Although for that, Sri Ramakrishna does not make any sorts of handling the mind of the man. Simply by his association, the mind is attracted. I am telling about one devotee. Although he was not a devotee when he comes and meets, he is Dr. Mahendra Lal Sarkar. Mahendra Lal Sarkar looks after Sri Ramakrishna in his last days of life when he has got cancer in the throat. It is a very severe disease, and in those times there was not at all any medical improvement. He was a big homeopath and he was the president of the Indian Association for the Cultivation of Science. So when Sri Ramakrishna was suffering, the devotees, they have tried with other doctors, and they thought, because he is a known doctor in that time, so he can be called and shown. If any sort of diagnosis he made or any sorts of new treatment, he can suggest. So in this way, Dr. Mahendra Lal Sarkar came. Mahendra Lal Sarkar, every time when he is coming, he will examine his throat But it will be a matter of 5 to 10 minutes. After that, what happens? When anybody calls a doctor, doctor has got hundreds of business. He will attend to that patient and go to other patients, other calls which are there. But Mahendralal Sarkar came, and then after seeing his throat condition, starts discussing with him regarding godly matters, spiritual matters. Sri Ramakrishna is sitting in his bed, and he will warn Sri Ramakrishna, be careful, you should not catch cold, all these things. Then first question he will put to the other devotees, I understand that it is the God who has created what is we see in this world. Various things. We see the trees, we see the sky, we see the sun and the moon and so many things, hundreds of things. But I cannot believe that God can take the form of a, or a frame of a human being, an incarnation, as we call him, he can come to this earth. So he says, whatever you may say, yes, I understand, such a huge, massive infrastructure of nature, where from it comes? There must be some maker who has done it. And I agree that yes, God has done it. But that infinite God who has no limitation of his energy, of his power, he will take the shape of a human being. I cannot accept to that. And what you, the devotees he is calling, you foolish people, what you are doing? You have slowly and silently coming in contact with this man and make him, or the other way, you are declaring him as an incarnation of God. Sri Ramakrishna is hearing all these words. In his face he was talking. Other devotees also are sitting, who have very old devotees who are coming for several days, several months. He will not claim anything about his divinity, or he is a messenger of God or an incarnation of God. There are other people like Girish Chandra Ghosh or some other devotees. Then the argument will start. In the gospel you will find, they will tell, how do you understand that God cannot take the human frame when he can create all the things in this world, good or bad? Everything is his creation. How do you say that he does not have the capacity to take the human body? Then also he does not admit. No, no, you have made this man an incarnation of God. I understand, he's a good man. He's a very pious man, he's a noble man, Sri Ramakrishna. But you are spoiling him by calling him as God incarnations. Like that he used to say. Then days and months have passed. He is a little critic type. Then how the attraction comes, about which I am telling. After a few days, he went home. And then next time when he is coming, he comes and says, I was thinking, he was not called on that day. He says, I was thinking that I should not come to you today. I have got my other problems. But what happened to me, I do not know. I was thinking I shall not go, or should I go? I have got less of time. There are so many calls. The patients will run away if I do not attend to them. They have given call to me. Like that I was thinking. But again I am thinking, no, I must go and meet him once. He has given the medicine. He has got the report how Sri Ramakrishna's condition is. But it is not required as a doctor for him to go and meet him. But wonder of wonders, the doctor himself feels that day I went there, today also I feel a more attraction. Why more attraction? I myself do not know what has happened to me. So when I get up, I see I do not have much sleep in the night. 3 o'clock in the night, it is dead at night. I do not get much sleep. And I am thinking when to go, how to go. When there will be morning light will come, sunlight, at least I must go. Get some time, find out some time and meet him. So like that, he is thinking. And afterwards he decided, no, I shall go there and meet him. So suddenly, without getting the call, he will come, and there he expresses that I was thinking I shall not come, or whether I should go to you or not, but I do not know what is the force that attracts me that I have to come and meet him. So like that, see, so subtle is Sri Ramakrishna's this spiritual transformation of a person. That is going on without having directly encountering with him in any way. He comes and sees and meets and talks. He questions, one or two questions he makes. And he, Sri Ramakrishna, also answers. Regarding Sri Ramakrishna himself, he told, I do not know anything. I am an ignorant man. I am dependent on Mother Kali. Mother Kali, are you dependent, Dr. Sarkar? Yes, I do not know anything but Mother. Oh, these people are doing your service, it is Mother's wish. Sometimes he will be critic. It is Mother's wish. The Mother have called all of them, Sri Ramakrishna told. I have not called them, they have come by themselves. They like to do service to me. Like that, this sort of talks still go on and on and on. Then, this attraction also, it is getting intenser, and further it is getting intense. And Mahendralal Sarkar is one day challenging Sri Ramakrishna. I have seen that you are going to ecstasy. You are losing your worldly consciousness. Again and again it happens. When there is a spiritual mood, suddenly it is immediately we shock that you lost the outer consciousness. There is no attachment to your body. And we have never seen such type of person in anywhere in the world who is again and again, when discussion was going on or any spiritual mood has come to him regarding their talks or spiritual matters or some singing of God's glory is going on, some devotional songs, he immediately slowly, what happens? After singing, he becomes very happy, joyful, and suddenly lost his outer consciousness. as if he goes up to a very, very high level and which we do not understand. Is it possible for a human being? He is doubted by the doctor. He has got some nervous debility or something like that. It may be the result of that. So, this losing the outer consciousness does not mean that he had gone to a very high spiritual level. So, like that, he is telling to the devotees. But one day, he thought, I shall challenge this man. He had got his outer consciousness. You see the glow of halo in the face, brightness in the face is there. But no sign of life. He has put his stethoscope on the chest and again verifying whether he has got any signal that he is living or he is dead. So many times he is putting the stetho and taking it out, again putting the stethoscope and see whether life moves in Sri Ramakrishna or not. Then he puts his hand in front of the nostrils and he sees no respiratory action is going on. Then he is surprised and amazed. It does not tally with his knowledge of the medical science. The man, he is going to this sort of plane. He is declared dead. He is dead man. He is in the grip of death. But what a wonder of wonders. We see the brightness of the face, but no sign of life, no respiration. Then he will examine his eyes. So he puts his fingers on the eyes to see if there is any reflex action on that. As if, like we human beings, somebody puts his fingers on his eyes. If he has got vitality in his life, immediately he will respond. He did not see any sign there. He is out of outer consciousness. Then doctor cannot make any conclusion out of this wonderful man. Slowly, slowly he sees how he comes down from that higher consciousness, highest reality where he was, as we read in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. He came down, 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 down. As a very big, high-storied building, somebody has gone up and he has got the control of the lift. He comes down and again slowly, 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 slowly he will speak. Then to regain his consciousness of the body, who is again going up and up, he will tell, I shall create some desire in my mind. What sort of a desire? The desire is, I shall take a glass of water. Then somebody will bring a glass of water, other persons who knows it. No, no, no. Please don't bring. It is his desire he is trying to create. He has no desire. The worldly people, we ourselves, ordinary people, we have hundreds of desires. He does not have any tinge of desire. So he wants to create desire. Why? To keep his mind on the body. To keep his mind on the body, we cannot imagine in comparison to the other people. Our mind is always in the body, but his mind is not in the body. If he cannot retain his body, then the Mother Kali, the universal deity, that is the order of the Mother. You retain your mind in the body. You will. It is natural that you cannot retain, it will go up and up and up. But try to create desire to keep your mind in this body. Otherwise, the world will not get your message if something does not come from your voice. People see to you, they will hear your voice or get the association of you, the holiest of a holy person, and there will be big change in their life. So for that, I have brought you to this world. That is the purpose of your staying in this world. So when that has been given the order of the mother, always Sri Ramakrishna used to say, I am the slave of the mother. I do not know anything. I've totally surrendered everything to the feet of the mother. So mother told me to keep my body in this world, and you see, devotees will come. One after another, devotees will be coming. There is lot of things to impart it to them, mother told. But he is not busy about it. Where are the devotees? He does not think. Yet today itself, hundreds of people will come. Sometimes he cries alone. Mother, you have told that so many devotees will come. One day has passed, one night has passed. Not a single fellow has come today. Then slowly, slowly, people who are of intellectual temperament, who are reading in universities and colleges, ordinary householder, women, and general public, they come to see and visit the temple of Kali at Dakshineshwar. There are people who are coming and going, as if we see in Kalighat, other places, people go to temple and visit the deity. But what happens? It has become a widespread rumor that a monk stays there. And it has come to know, notice of the people, that he is a God-intoxicated man. He always talks about God. He himself is merged in God. He does not care for anything else in this world. But he is not abnormal. There is full normality. He moves from higher plane to the lower plane. But when he comes back to the level of human being, that is the lower plane which I call you, he talks very, very small, small sentences and languages, but it is always, you will see that some forces are coming out of that small sentences. It is not that it is all grammatically correct, or it is in a poetical words, or it is a preparation. These things are coming out of him? No, not at all. It spontaneously, like a perennial flow, it comes. And anybody who hears it, he will bring from his house the other people. Oh, such a holy person is here nearby. We cannot recognize. Then slowly, slowly, this message spread. But he is not eager to spread it. He doesn't have the pride in self. No pride. No claiming that I can teach them. Then how a teacher who does not have the ego to teach, how he can teach? We can't think of it. It is impossible. In an ordinary sense, here is such a wonderful affairs going on. So persons like Narendranath Dutta, university graduates, persons like Keshav Chandra Sen, Vijay Krishna Goswami, or people from other sects, the Vaishnavas, the other people, the scholarly people from different sects, Ramanujas, those who want to know God, who are searching, who have got various doubts in their minds, who cannot accept that time what is there in the religion of the Hindus, the conventional religion of the Hindus. There is lot of doubts and they want to reform the Hindu society. Then there are Western ideas that is floating to them. This sort of changes that they are thinking, but they do not know the truth. Where is the truth? All these discussions, all this searching and reforming, what does it mean if a person who wants to do it, had he have the knowledge of truth? Nobody can give a confirmed statement, I know the truth. So what is the use of mere talks and discussions? That things were going on. Keshav Chandra Sen, Vijay Krishna Goswami were opponents of Sri Ramakrishna's preaching. Preaching means talking about Mother Kali or telling that Mother does everything in this world, I do not know anything. This sort of expression creates such a charm. And he himself says, whom you call Brahman, I call Mother Kali. They are spellbound. They cannot answer so long they are protesting against the image worship made of stone or clay. All these things it is built up, or wood. A wood cannot be God. A clay cannot be a God. A stone cannot be God. All sorts of protests and heaps of books had been written. But here is a man, he himself declares, I accept God, I have realized God with forms, I have realized God without form. So God is having form and God is also having no form. And then further he goes and says, he is higher than that. Not only the form with form or with formlessness, he is beyond form and formlessness. So such type of vision or the realization that comes to his mind, he had done sadhana, spiritual practice, and realized the formless God in the non-dualistic vision. His guru had come to Dakshineshwar, and when he was asked, are you ready to leave your spiritual practice, denying the form of God? He says, yes, I shall take my permission from my mother who is there. He goes to the temple and asks, Mother, such a monk has come from northern India. He says that I shall do sadhana in the path of Vedanta. Should I do it? Yes, my son, he has come for fulfilling your purpose. Then he immediately comes and says, yeah, I am ready to do that. God without form. So within a period of 3 days, he had got the realization. His name was Totapuri, the name of the guru. So these sort of things have happened in his life. He has got the vision of Sri Krishna, dancing Krishna with all his divine sports. He has got the vision of the Radha. He had got the vision of Ramachandra. He has got the vision of Sita. He had got the vision of Jesus. He has got the vision of Muhammad. Those things, as if it is an ocean that is inside him, but outer expression, a man who had got full-fledged digestions, his health becomes so strong, but without a list of ego. So, when we see him, people will come with him, talk with him. There is no gravity, there is no fear, but he is particular, for one particular important aspect is particular. If anybody comes to him and approaches him for development in spiritual life, he will be very friendly to him. At the same time, he is very strict. When he comes nearer and closer, that he practices spirituality as it has been instructed to him. But that is also in a very loving way. So, devotees are coming. Monastic devotees who will become monastic life, who will take up renunciation, who will leave this world and lead the life of a monk, and the householders who want peace of mind. For both of them, he has kept his avenues open. Yes, you are a householder. Doesn't matter. You take the name of the Lord. Don't forget his name. Go to your room where you keep a corner and do worshipful service to him. Like that, he gives. A particular person has come and approached, and he will give his way. He will advise him the way that he can develop. Like that, somebody is a monastic attitude, he comes. Yes, I do not like this world. Yes, the world is illusory. Of course, you have to practice. And you come some other day, you come alone. Such happened in the case of Narendranath. You know, Swamiji, when he went there, have you realized God? Yes. Can you show me? Yes. So, he had shown him. Then also, he was hundreds of doubts, and Sri Ramakrishna immediately understood that this particular person who has come to him, he is the choicest of his disciple who will preach his message to the outer world. He will be the commentator of what he will teach him, what he is teaching to the small world that is coming in contact with him during his Dakshineshwar days. That will get amplified and it will be required for the whole world to get the answers of hundreds of questions in this age of science and in this age of conflict between so many religions. So he has practiced so many religious paths and accept all the paths as true paths to God. So, all this message, it requires a torch bearer who will be able to go to the globe for the global representation. So, such things happened. Sri Ramakrishna is for this call, for this reason, he is called the prophet of harmony in this age. Harmony not only between the religions, between the different mental attitude of a person. I do not like the attitude of a devotee. I like the path of discrimination. I do not like the path of discrimination or the path of devotion, suppose. Then there is a third path. Do the service to ordinary human beings, thinking that God lives in man. So it is also a path of spiritual practice which elevates your mind and you can develop spirituality.
The fourth one also is a mystic path. That also he has told so many times.
Yes, during this practice, how the mind goes up and up. So these things are tallying with the scriptures of the earlier ages. In the Patanjali Yoga Sutra, in the Brahma Sutra, in the Upanishad, in the Bible, in the Gita, those things, those sermons or gospels that had been rendered in that time. Sri Ramakrishna, without reading through them, only sometimes he hears, people come, he is going to some places where there will be discussions about spiritual matters. But not in a very formal way. Occasionally he goes, but he is going there and attending that with all devotions. He feels that his realization tallies with what they say in the scriptures. Not that he will read the scripture and follow, but his realization tallies with what is written in the scriptures or by the earlier incarnations of the earlier ages. So that goes on and on. And it is the message or the wish and will of the mother who looks after this whole humanity at large, the universal mother, the Shakti, that it will not be restricted to a particular time or years, because Sri Ramakrishna's lifetime has passed. He is not there today. It is 1886 he passed away. Swami Vivekananda, his messenger, passed away in 1902. So, during their lifetime, there are people who are coming. But after their passing away, how much is there in their message? How much power or how much potentiality is in their message? That whoever comes in touch with that will get all answers, get inspiration, find out the path of life. His doubts will be cleared. He can go forward. And for that, Sri Ramakrishna wanted Narendra Dutta that a monastic organization should be started, centering around his life and message, which Swami Vivekananda did not agree to do it. He says, I do not bother for that. I should have my God realization. I should be absorbed in samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi. Sri Ramakrishna rebuked him and told, you see, what you are to do is much more important and required for that. You should not be so low-minded, so mean, that too, so selfish, that you want your own realization. Slowly, slowly, the time comes and we see that Swami Vivekananda understood that he is destined to do this work, and for that their organization is required. So that will be the instrument. And through that organization, people will come to know the ideas and ideals, the universal ideals of Sri Ramakrishna Vivekananda and the Holy Mother Sharada Devi. So that is the power of incarnation in this age. And we are fortunate that slowly and silently Sri Ramakrishna's message is going deeper and deeper in this world, in this scientific age. If the other ages, their truth also has been declared, but it cannot be understood unless and until it has been experimented through the message of Sri Ramakrishna and Vivekananda in this present day. So, today, in this evening, we pray to Holy Trinity. in these pious people who are here in these holy places, all of you, where you take the name of the Lord every evening, morning, and we are congregating ourselves to have godly thought. Here God resides, where all the devotees come, and there in their heart, God will give blessings, will make them further purified and purified. So I pray to Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother Sarvadevi, and Swami Vivekananda, so that we can such sort of noble endeavor, so that our life becomes fruitful in the path of holiness and tranquility and peace and God realization and unselfishness and noble service. Thank you all. Now the question, if you have got, if any of you, you can ask some questions, I shall try to answer it. After thinking of this sort of topics and discussions, everybody of us will like to go further and further and further, because suppose we go home, we will be busy with our household work, we shall forget, so lest we do not forget. So go on with this sort of discussion every day. Don't think it is useless. It will be very useful here.
How can you doubt desires? What can be the motivation for social service? I mean, how do you get motivated without desires? If you eliminate all the desires, then all the motivation should...
The first important thing is, so you are to forego the desires, is it not? Endless desires are there in our mind. And the more and more desires are there, mind becomes very, very, very restless. Mind will not rest to God. So how to remove the desire? The most important thing is, for that, one important thing is, you should have a discriminatory tendency of the mind. Discriminatory tendency means your one desire is fulfilled. You are happy with it. After a few months or next day, there will be a second desire coming. After that is fulfilled, there is a third desire coming. Like that, in Vivek Churamani Shankaracharya, in his book, it has been told, Antasrita Ananta Duranta Vasana Dhuli Vilipta Paramatma Vasana. You do not think of attaining God, because desires are always disturbing you. So you must discriminate that whether I shall be able to become happy by fulfilling my desires. There are endless desires. Whether I can get so much happiness that I do not have anything want, any desire to be satisfied. So this is one way. Another way is to love God with a pure heart. Take His name, chant His name every day. Think that He is the supreme in this world where we live. So if we want Him, then we should not run for desires. The only desire is to get Him, to realize Him, to get His blessings, to get divine joy. An inch of divine joy is more, you see, for us, is more helpful for hundreds of worldly desires. So, a drink of spiritual bliss, a spiritual nectar, whatever we may call it,
If we can get it by foregoing our desire that we do not want this, we do not want that, we do not want that, number one, number two, number three, number four, hundreds and hundreds, we go on living, discriminating one after another. Then ultimately, when you are making your mind vacant, why are you living it? Because I want you. You means who? God, who is there, pervading in this world, and He is there in our my heart. Let me verify myself. If I leave the desire, or if I try to leave the desire, is it helping me to make the mind more calm and quiet to think of the Lord? You have to be very careful and try to discriminate at the same time. The mind does not like to be motivated towards God. So chant His name, chant His holy name with other people who are chanting His glory, His name. They together sing His name, they together take His name, they are discussing about His life and message. So these things purify the mind, and desires will be lessened. And you go more and more for desire, desires will be increasing hundreds of things, hundreds of ways. And more desires will become, we should say, that is become multiplied. So one desire produces a three desires. Three desires produce a 30 desires. 30 desires produce a 300 desires. It is like a GP series. It is a GP series, you know. It is an expansion in a multiplied way. Not in a arithmetical way, I mean, that's not 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Not like that. 1 begets 2. 2 begets 4. 4 begets 16. 16 begets 1600. So there is no end to it. So the moment you think that let this first desire be fulfilled, then I shall not have any other desire. It will not be possible. Then what is the way out? Your mind will not become restless. It will be becoming always distracting you. Mind will becoming slowly, 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 its restlessness increases. So how to make it calm and quiet? So from the beginning itself, try to eliminate desires. The elimination of desires, how it is to be done? By cultivation of the path of love towards God. Anyhow, you will see yourself and find out whether there is a tendency within you to love the God, to take His name, to get His bliss. The another thing is to discriminate. So these are the two paths. And if you try and be alert about it, you will see, you will be slowly able to reduce the desires. That is my answer. Thank